You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Howdy, it's time for another edition of Colts Narrow Chat, a Wednesday evening show, post-Champions League show. I'm Jeremy, joined per usual by Robbie, and we're going to be talking all about Atletico Madrid's 1-1 draw with Man United at the Wanda Metropolitano on Wednesday. Robbie, your general observations from this game, which saw Atletico take an early lead, but then lose it late.
Yeah, general observations. I thought this match was actually quite similar to the one we saw against Levante in some ways, and I thought that Atletico looked really good. They were really well set up with Joao Felix and Correa pressing from the front. The kind of agility of Herrera and Condogbia in the middle. He used Lodi and Llorente's defensive tendencies well to close down the Rashford and Sancho, helped then behind Versalco and Reinaldo to give them a little bit of solidity, and yeah, I think it was good for a while, but then just that blip at the end was could prove costly, but it was decent.
Probably in a sense as expected, right? Because it ends with a draw. These are two teams that, as we talked about on a couple podcasts recently, have very similar strengths but very similar weaknesses, so it makes sense that they would end up playing to a draw. And with the abolishment of the away goals rule, the second leg is gonna decide everything next month at Old Trafford, so that'll be fun and exciting. That it basically resets to zero. Ilanga's 80th minute equalizer doesn't count for double as it would have in previous seasons. Is that something to be optimistic about for Atletico? Can they repeat this performance at Old Trafford?
Yeah, I just don't know how much Manchester United have left in them. I don't really know how well they can play. They've got serious issues from a number of from tactical issues, intensity. They've got a lot of there's a lot of players just out of form. I don't think the mood is very good in the camp right now. While going to Old Trafford at one stage would have been fairly daunting, right now I just don't know how. I don't know if Manchester United can respond. You think it's going to be ferocious, but then in reality, they just can't muster the ability to care enough. So I don't really know. In reality, this is two poor teams. I've got Manchester United fans back in Ireland, and they were telling me how poor United were, and I was kind of trying to explain to them that Atletico were really struggling, and during the game tonight, I was just texting them saying, I didn't believe you how bad Man United really were, because I thought they were pretty dreadful. So the I think Atletico were good tonight, but I think Manchester United were also pretty awful.
I think Atletico did a few things quite well in this game. And that first half, Robbie, was like turning back the clock 5 or 6 years and watching some of those older Cholismo-style teams. Atletico were pressing high, pressing intently. They went into the half a goal up after Joao Felix headed Atleti into the lead in the 7th minute. United looked just lost. So many ball losses in midfield. Bruno Fernandes and Paul Pogba were terrible in the first half. And Fernandes ended up playing all 90 minutes and assisted the equalizer. But like I'm watching this midfield and I'm thinking these guys cost a combined 200 million euros and they're losing the ball this sloppily and this easily when Atletico have like these same problems. It was amazing. Like United were not prepared at all for Atletico to dig in as they did defensively in the first half. And that plan nearly worked to perfection. Is this something Atletico can use as a springboard for the upcoming games, or is this just kind of a one-off tailored to this particular opponent kind of thing?
Yeah, I think that the team selection tonight was and I know, and it's funny how narrative can drive these things, and if Atletico win tonight, it's oh my God, amazing. And then that one counter-attack and all of a sudden it's kind of takes the shine completely off it. But I do think that first half is, I think the problem with Atletico tonight ended up being the fact that and this is a problem that Atletico have had on many occasions this season, once they get into their end game, like in chess, when they get into, they don't know how to play. They aren't sure, do we go for a second? Do we sit back and invite them on? And then you end up kind of doing neither, and you just kind of end up, the game kind of falls into this state of, okay, who wants to take control of it here? And it kind of, that lull kind of happened just before the goal. And Simeone made the substitutions, and maybe Griezmann and Thomas Lemar didn't have a chance really to kind of get up to speed with the game. And I thought Griezmann probably should have actually noticed the danger from Bruno Fernandes, and Atletico were badly exposed. I thought Reinildo was really poor for that, and also Jan Oblak's positioning was terrible. But just back to the point about the first half, I think that I think, like I said, the structure of the team was way better. This is actually a similar game to the Levante one, where Levante played right through Atletico. Atletico tried to go too narrow, and they couldn't cover enough ground going across the field.
Mm.
But tonight, what they did was they had Correa and Joao Felix working really hard in tandem to prevent Fred from getting the ball in the build-up. Against Levante, Suarez and Correa were completely disconnected. It was Cunha and Correa who were completely right. Disconnected. And they weren't closing down Pepe Lu. So Levante had an option going right to the defensive midfielder. The pass had to be really on for them to give it to Fred. They don't trust him fully, so he's not part of their build up unless it's an almost certainty. So they're not like trying to squeeze that ball into him for him to start the build up. So that was one thing that worked. And also, then coming backwards, Herrera and Kondogbia could close that ground quicker. So, for example, against Levante, it was Koke being asked to push up on Pepe Lu, and he just doesn't cover as much ground as Herrera or Kondogbia. And I thought they were really good at moving both laterally and vertically to stop Manchester United really seeing those spaces and exploiting them. And then on the other side of it, so that meant the middle was covered. And then it's a matter of making sure that when the ball goes out to the wings, Atletico Madrid had them closed down. So Llorente and Lodi were doing really well to kind of shift across, and then Kondogbia would come to help. Joao Felix would then kind of trap the ball carrier, Lindelof or Maguire on the other side. And then they'd have to come back and start again where Correa would be. And it was just a really good, it just looked like a really good, well-planned and well-implemented or well executed press. And then in the second half, Atletico kind of got a little sloppier, lazier. They weren't really sure how to attack, and the game kind of got into that state where they don't really feel comfortable. And then all of a sudden, it was just they conceded that goal. So yeah, that first half was really impressive, and I thought they looked excellent. And the tactics were really good from Simeone, but unfortunately, they let the dark side of them come out then in the second half, and it could mean they're knocked out in 3 weeks' time.
Yeah, letting that lead slip that was a bad goal to concede, and we'll talk about how things went wrong in the second half in a moment here. There was talk before the game, Robbie, about how Atletico were going to line up, whether it was going to be three at the back, a return to the 3-5-2, or the 4-4-2 that we've seen in recent weeks. And Atletico kind of played it both ways for the first 60, 70 minutes of this game until Halfaniak made his changes that kind of swung the pendulum back in United's favor. I thought this was a great performance, speaking of the midfield, from Kondogbia, as well as Herrera. And a couple very positive appearances for Herrera in the last week against Osasuna and now against Man United. I thought in the first half he was a calming, controlling influence on the ball, ended up attempting the most passes of any Atletico player, and Kondogbia was just blowing up everything in the first half. Pogba and Bruno kept trying to play through him, and Kondogbia was just psych. Just he kept out-muscling them and winning the ball back, and it really looked too easy for Atletico, and they were certainly deserving of this lead. Joao Felix has talked quite often about how much he likes these big European games. This was his first Champions League goal of the season, a thunderous diving header to beat David De Gea, and it looked like all was well. The Kondogbia-Herrera pairing, Dermot Corrigan caught this, and I had not thought of this until he tweeted it. First time they'd been paired together all season, in Koke's absence and DePaul sliding to the bench. You didn't really notice Koke's absence in this game, did you?
No, not at all. It was addition by subtraction in a way, because I think that Atletico have been probably a little bit too reliant on him, and they had to go a different way. And I do think that Herrera, while he does have that tendency to make mistakes, and he's also more than willing to take risks, and he's kind of a little bit of a free spirit, a little bit of a maverick, and I do think you need I know it's all about control and discipline, but you do need those mavericks on the team. And Kondogbia too, like, he's a little bit erratic at times, but the kind of guy who can or is willing to take a chance. And and the same with Rodrigo de Paul in terms of I just think Rodrigo de Paul has been asked to do something that he's not very good at. I was just looking at his stats before the game. You signed him from Udinese, and his main thing was touches in the box, shots, creating touches in the penalty area, being in the attacking third, and just being a presence there. And you take that away from him and put him into a different role, and as we've seen this season, a shell of the player that they thought they were signing. And I think that Llorente does much better there, because he's kind of accustomed to it, to what Simeone wants from him, and he's also played in that right back role, and he's had a chance to kind of understand and appreciate what Versalico's trying to do, what is expected of a right midfielder, and he's also played further forward, so he kind of knows exactly where to be, when to be there, and how to get there. So I think that I've been critical of Simeone all year, but I think tonight he did really well, and I think that if it wasn't for that kind of lapse in concentration at the end, we'd be sitting there talking about Atletico Madrid win.
Yeah, or if either of those two chances went off the crossbar, would have gone in, we'd be talking about a 2-1 win. But yeah, I think you're right about Simeone. We've both been pretty critical of how Simeone has approached a large portion of this season. Some of his decisions have, of course, been conditioned by the absences, injuries, suspensions, mostly injuries. But I think in the absence of his club captain and in the absence of Yannick Carrasco, who was pretty consistently Atletico's most dangerous player from wide areas, he had to turn to something new. And I don't really think he stumbled upon it, but I think he's found something here with this Kondogbia-Herrera pairing in certain situations. Kondogbia is very physically strong and athletic and defensively responsible. Herrera has always been a skillful passer with good passing range. We just haven't often seen it, particularly against in the big games against big opposition, against the top flight teams. I don't think United are like a top tier team anymore when you compare them to City, Liverpool, Chelsea, but still, this was a big game and a big night in the knockout stages of the Champions League, and they both acquitted themselves well. I also thought Renan Lodi had a really good night, Robbie. I'm not sure what Hranić was thinking with that Lindelof versus Lodi matchup, but Lodi won it convincingly. An assist coming from that side, and he just gave him the runaround for over an hour. Lodi is a guy that has been very inconsistent the past two seasons after a very promising debut in 2019-20. What's the role for him going forward? Because he's got value. He's a really classy individual talent. His crossing can be very dangerous. He's got a good chemistry with Joao Felix. What's his role going forward?
But I think the same could be said for any of these players. And I know you don't get the chance to play Manchester United every game. And I know that, and I don't mean that. I what I mean is, Manchester United are so confident that they play their own style, and they don't really think too much about stopping you playing. Whereas when you're playing Levante, and when you're playing teams like that, and Atletico Madrid have to be on the forefront, and it's them being proactive. Whereas against Manchester United tonight, it was more a case of letting Manchester United do themselves damage, and then Atletico having the willingness and being given the opportunities then to counter and to play football, because Manchester United were so concerned with their own game. And I think that Atletico need to do that for the rest of the season. Play football. Just go out and be proactive and play football, and they'll win 70% of games, if not more, because they have the talent. And I think that's the very reason why I am going to bring it up, but that's the reason why I said it about Joao Felix earlier. I was like, this is perfect for him, because I just felt like he was going to be given a chance to just play football instead of being worried about and I know there's some element of having to defend, and I'm not just saying forget defending, but he was being given the chance to just play, and I think that that's what this it's a pretty simple tactical or a change of mind. And we saw that with Kondogbia and Herrera tonight, two guys who so Koke has been kind of indoctrinated into the way of Cholo. He's the embodiment of Cholo on the field. He's afraid of taking a risk, and I know that he offers something that no other player offers, but maybe that little bit of fearlessness is a good thing, and maybe Herrera not being a maverick is a good thing, and maybe Joao Felix not conforming is a good thing, and use that want to play football. Use that to your advantage and just let them play, because they've, like, you look down along the bench then tonight, they had, the commentator said it on the telly as well, he was saying, like, Griezmann, Suarez, Lemar, Depaul, all on the bench. I mean, the talent in this squad is ridiculous, and I know we've been reconditioned to think that, oh, well, maybe they're not that good. No, the talent is there, and I think, and that's another point on Joao Felix, is that to his credit, in all of the big games, or most of them, he performs. And he's got an edge to him. He's got a kind of a petulance to him that comes across maybe as being a bad thing when it's in opposition to Diego Simeone and he's kind of going against a club legend. But it's a petulance and a kind of an edge that you want to see from your best players that cost 126 million. This kind of, I want to give me the ball and I will make a fool out of someone. and I think he does that. And there was one time tonight when I looked at him and he was after being pulled down. He just kind of this this kind of, or no, sorry, he was after taking a shot, a ridiculous, audacious effort, never going in, or what, maybe 1 in 100 of them hits the target even, but, and he just kind of smiled, this kind of cheeky grin. I was just like, you know what, I mean, okay, sometimes they don't work out, but you want to kind of embolden players like that on the field, and I think that that's the way forward, that's the path for Atletico if Simeone is willing to accept the risk that goes with it.
Like, Joao gives them so much inspiration and so much invention and innovation on the pitch where it isn't elsewhere in this squad. His goal tonight where Maguire plays him onside, and then he just gets a good 2 steps on him, and Maguire's got no chance. Neither does De Gea on this header that rings in off the post. It's a great delivery from Lodi and an even better header from Felix, who he does love these big games. And at Old Trafford in 3 weeks' time, he's going to have to get another start. I think he absolutely should start again, and he's going to have to be the focal point, where we have seen that relatively infrequently in the past nearly 3 years, 2 and a quarter years, that Felix has not, this attack has not been built around him, and it has not been adequately tailored to his strengths and suited to him. And we saw that for a good chunk of this game tonight, where he ran the show. 5 shots, he had Atletico's only shot on target in the entire game, for better or worse, and it was the opening goal, which was 10 minutes from being the winning goal, Robbie. And he's replaced by Griezmann in the second half, and we'll talk about the substitutions, but I thought this was a tremendously encouraging performance for him, and he played well against Osasuna at the weekend, scored the opening goal there. Perhaps this is a turning point for him. Perhaps he's turning the corner, and as he goes, I think Atletico will go, because he's so talented and there's so much skill and creativity and invention there, but we just don't always see it for one reason or another. The second half looked like it was going much the same way as the first. Atletico continued to win the midfield battle. Condobia and Herrera playing on a yellow card, still playing very well. But then Ralf Hanjak makes some changes, Robbie, that kind of swing momentum back in United's favor. They didn't look like much, but they really did improve how United played. Nemanja Matic coming on, Aaron Wan-Bissaka coming on, Alex Telles replacing Luke Shaw. I think all three of those changes helped United retain possession and solidify their midfield. And Wan-Bissaka came on, Lodi comes off 10 minutes later after Lindelof couldn't do anything to stop him. Simeone's response was Lemar and Griezmann with 15 minutes to go.
Yeah, I think I was surprised he took both of them off, both the players on the left off at the same time. I thought he would have maybe taken, although Correa was playing excellent as well. And I thought that Joe Felix was playing so well. It's like, just give him the 90 minutes. I didn't really get the reasoning behind taking him off. And I, to be honest with you, I know Joe Felix went off to a standing ovation and he applauded the crowd, and it was nice to see that, like, that all his teammates still have his back, and they were up to greet him and congratulate him when he came off the bench. But there was 15 minutes left and he still looked quite dangerous. I just don't get what are you protecting him? Why are you taking him off? And if it was a substitution for the sake of a substitution, maybe okay, but like, I don't know. I don't really get why he sacrificed Joe Felix. And maybe it was a case of, it just felt like it was the kind of sub that was written out before the start of the game. And I hate when managers, I don't like when managers do that. So, and they just happened to concede straight after that, so it made it even worse. But the subs didn't really do a whole bunch. Well, Griezmann had that effort. I think it probably would have been offside anyway. But no, and it was a decent response from Atletico after they did concede the goal. But you know what? Like, we're talking here, and I feel like the problem is that, you know, the way, like, when after a first leg, you kind of have an idea of how the second leg might go, or you might be wrong, but you have some sense of what you think might happen. In this game, in this tie, Atletico Madrid could ship 3 or 4 goals against Man United at Old Trafford, and I feel like the same the same could be said about Manchester United. Now, I know that they are at home, but they could easily concede 2 or 3 against Atletico, and I just think this tie is is still completely up for grabs, and I don't really know who. It's just a case of who's kind of less bad in the second leg, I think.
Yeah, if the away goals role were still intact, I would feel a lot worse about what happened with the Elanga goal 10 minutes from time. I mean, it was a nice passage of play. United had more space on this counterattack than they had had at any point in the game. Previously, it was a ball loss along the boundary. Bruno Fernandes gets it in midfield with just acres of space ahead of him, and then Reinildo just fails to cut out the pass. That was very poor defending by Reinildo, but a good finish from Elanga, the Swedish teenager who Hanjik has really liked. He's provided him a lot lately. So, yeah, the second leg, I think Correa just went on the television and said the second leg is going to be similar to this one, decided by the small details, and Simeone will be pleased by what happened. But, you know, the tie is, it's basically set at zero, at 1-1, and really can't be overly surprising given, as we said at the outset, how these teams are structured, their respective strengths and weaknesses, the balances and imbalances. I think another positive Atletico can take from this game is that they kept Cristiano Ronaldo quiet. Now, he has exploded in the second leg against Atletico before when he was a Juventus player, and of course his exploits when he was playing for Madrid. But Ronaldo only had two shots, neither of them on target. I think Savage did a really good job blanketing him. Jimenez also played a very good game despite taking few touches. I think both teams will be reasonably pleased with this. I think United will be more pleased, though, because Atletico could have and would have won this game on another day. And for the second leg next month, you expect Koke will be back. Daniel Voss could return by that time. It'll probably be too soon for Cunha, and Carrasco is still suspended. So potentially a couple more candidates to throw their hats in the ring for a starting bid, but you know, overall, I don't think Atletico should be too disappointed with how this one went, but on another day, they could have won, and that concession, that goal allowed in the last 10 minutes could be a killer. That said, Atletico did do some really good things on Wednesday night, controlled the midfield, and they looked as authoritative and displayed as good an attitude and as good a rhythm as they have all season, Robbie.
No, Dan, that's absolutely right. Like, I think that that's a good word for it. They had a really nice rhythm, and it felt like Manchester United just couldn't. It just looked like really good coaching, really good plan. Every time Manchester United player turned, Atletico were there. And the other thing was, I think they kind of showed off a little bit of the shrewdness that they hadn't shown in a long time. Like, yeah. they had been fouling in ridiculous places, losing their head. Now, I think Reinildo, and he has shown this in the last couple of games, I think he showed signs of maybe having that kind of a streak in him. I don't know. We'll have to wait to gather more evidence on that front. But I just think that he looked a little bit for example, he got booked. He fouled Pogba, which is fine, whatever. And he as a defender, going up to the linesman and getting booked for that, ridiculous to do that. And actually, you know what, that's around the time the game started to kind of change, and then the Atletico kind of a little bit of a lull then, and Reinildo, I think for Elanga's goal as well, he just dived in, and it was like what are you doing, man? Like, if you can't get to that, run with the striker rather than diving in, because he almost twisted himself into a pretzel trying to get to it, nearly hurt his knee. I worry that he has that streak in him and it's kind of coming out now, and in the big moments that's not really great when you're trying to replace Mario Hermoso, who's kind of he's been dropped basically because of that streak, and Felipe too. And yeah, I just think that they, in the first half, when they had things under control, they were playing like the shrewd, astute Atletico Madrid. And then as the game went on, there was a couple of moments where it was silly fouls that were unnecessary and kind of talking to the ref, and Jimenez lost his head for the Ronaldo free and got booked, and just silly stuff, you know. And then they concede the goal, and then you're, you know, and you kind of, these are all the things that you need to be in control of as contenders for anything. And I think that Atletico did it for about 60 or 65 minutes, and then that old, as I said, dark side of Atletico came out to play again.
Luis Suarez didn't appear in this game, Robbie. Are you surprised by that?
Well, I was actually thinking maybe he would come on, but I think then at the he didn't look too happy to be on the bench, and even for Joe Felix's goal, he kind of forced himself to celebrate. I think, I think the fact that Correa was working so hard and he was leading the line, so why would you take him off for Suarez, who's not going to do that? And I think Angel Correa won the ball back maybe five or six times during the second half there, and that's something that Luis Suarez hasn't done in, like, a couple of years now, right. It feels like. I think the only place he was going to come on, or the only person he was going to come on for, was Correa, and Correa was playing so well that he wasn't. And Correa's kind of... Correa's got that kind of attitude and the Argentinian bond with Simeone, and I feel like he really trusts him as a big game player too. So and Luis Suarez is the one to lose out. I think that's probably going to be the way for the rest of the season, to be honest with you.
It's something that we have hinted at and intimated and even said a few times this season. Even though Suarez has remained somewhat productive and scored a ridiculous goal at the weekend against Osasuna, Atletico's best team doesn't have him in it anymore because of his lack of movement, his lack of mobility, and the concessions needed to get the best out of him. And Correa was playing really well. I thought Correa and Vrsaljko too, well, we're talking about individuals, they both had very good games. Vrsaljko's passing is, well, nothing to write home about, and Atletico still need to upgrade that position badly over the summer. But defensively, Vrsaljko got stuck in. His work rate and his attitude are just exceptional. And I wouldn't necessarily mind if Atletico signed Vrsaljko to a short-term extension. I think characters like him, the injuries he's overcome and the positional battles he's been forced into, and he's still around, he's still here, signed for Atletico 6 years ago, and he's still here, I consider giving Vrsaljko a short-term extension.
Yeah, and for a guy who was completely written off at one point during his career, during his time at Atletico, I think he's done incredibly well and he was good again tonight, and he's got a lot of the traits of Simeone. It's kind of funny that Simeone never trusted or never gave him those chances, because he does have a lot of the traits that Simeone values in a player. So I think he's been very good as well, and I thought he was good again tonight.
So it's 1-1 after 90 minutes, halfway through the tie. It is all open for it's going to be open season at Old Trafford, man. That's going to be an electric game in a few weeks' time. But a few games to go in the interim. Atletico back in La Liga this weekend. They will stay at the Wanda Metropolitano to face Celta Vigo, a team that has given Atletico trouble intermittently over the years. It's the late game on Saturday, the late kickoff. Celta are on the fringes of the European places, currently sitting ninth in La Liga, 7 points adrift of Villarreal in sixth, and 6 points behind La Real, who were pumped in the Basque Derby on Sunday. That was the first time Athletic beat La Real by 4 goals in a Basque Derby in 60 years. I think that's the stat I saw.
Yeah, that's ugly. Yeah, that was really ugly, and that's the kind of game that can put a manager under pressure. And I know Imanol Aguacil has been excellent for Real Sociedad, but
that's a derby.
That's a proper beating. Yeah,
you can't lose that game like that. And La Real are at a goal, humming along at a goal per game this year with some of the attacking talent they have. That's an interesting situation to monitor. But as for Celta's visit this weekend, Robbie, Celta are in pretty decent form right now, haven't lost any of the past five. We know that Iago Aspas is going to lead their line, and we know the kind of talent he is. What are you expecting out of this game? And Atletico, we have learned to kind of expect the unexpected this season, but can Atletico keep this rhythm and keep this momentum going?
Again, it depends what he does, and it depends who's available. But that looks like, and I know, as I said, you don't get to play Manchester United every day, and I mean that in a, I don't mean that in a smart. What do you say in America? Smart.
A smart ass.
We say this like a smart aleck, like a smart. Yeah. I'm not being smart when I say that. I'm not being facetious, Celta, and actually, do you know what? Celta Vigo are a little bit like that. They play their own way, and they'll come out and play against Atletico. I think maybe Simeone might be thinking, and I've thought this before, and I've said this before, and I thought, oh, maybe we've got something now, and he's come out and completely changed it around again. But I do think that maybe Simeone was watching that tonight and thinking, okay, we've found the formula. Now it's just a matter of making sure that. We just keep working on it and refining it and we can go from there. But yeah, again, it'll come down to just how long, what team he decides to play, who's available, and which Atletico Madrid show up, I guess.
Yeah, hard to say with kickoff still a few days away here, but. Celta are kind of an erratic team. They failed to beat Levante last time out, but then again, Atletico had two chances to beat Levante this year and didn't do it either time. They've got several very talented players. Fran Beltran at the base of their midfield has had a good season. Bryce Mendes is very talented. We know about Iago Aspas. Santi Mina is also a good player. They have a good defense. It'll be a tricky game, and as you said, Celta are a team that likes to have the ball. They like to impose their style and impose their will against most opposition. So, going to be a tricky one to call. And we know Atletico's home form has been anything but spectacular this season. And a victory will get them back into the top four, at least temporarily.
Yeah. I would imagine that Simeone is going all out now for this champion. Well, I'm sure he has his eyes on this. So, again, it just comes down to who's available and how he wants to play, and I wouldn't be putting my money on trying to figure out which version of Atletico Madrid shows up.
Yeah, who knows? I would expect one of Felipe or Hermoso to re-enter the team since neither one played tonight. Probably a start for Lemar, a start for Carrasco, given Lemar only played 15 minutes tonight. Carrasco didn't play due to his suspension. And beyond that, and Oblak in goal, but beyond that, the team is going to be relatively difficult to call. So for the time being, I'll call it a draw. And Celta are a tough team to analyze themselves on occasion, but a draw seems fair.
Yeah, I'd say so as well. Atletico should have the enough to beat them, but. But as you said, Celta Vigo are actually in a fine run of form at the moment themselves, and they do play that kind of all or nothing strategy. So it's they could very well come out and shock Atletico and end up with a point for themselves.
Yeah, I wouldn't be overly surprised. As we've said, Atletico sitting fifth, a joint level with Barca on points, but Barca had the superior goal difference and a game in hand. Really a lot of the games from here on out for Atletico are going to be must wins. And after this one, Atleti go to the Via Marine, Robbie, to face Betis, third place Betis, flying high Betis.
And they are absolutely flying. But again, another team that kind of plays and lets you play, and that kind of suits Atletico. So, they could put two or three past Atletico or else Atletico, if they stick with the formula we saw tonight and closing down spaces, keeping the middle nice and tight, and just try to limit the individual mistakes, and then have Joao Felix and Correa up front, I think I would back Atletico to, maybe not my own money, but
someone else's money.
But Atletico do have the talent to beat anyone under day. And I understand that Betis are in a fine vein of form, but if Atletico go out and play like they can play, then they shouldn't really have too much to fear. And Betis are the kind of team that if Atletico can kind of go at them with the intensity that they can play at, they can hurt them. And and Atletico kind of historically done quite well against Betis. So, but again, I'm repeating myself now at this stage. But it just depends on what Atletico show up.
Yeah. But in the meantime, Celta on Saturday night at the Wanda Metropolitano, huge game in the top four race. Atletico still far from assured whether they will be in the top four this season and in the Champions League next year. But in the meantime, that'll do it for this edition of Colts Neuro Chat. I want to thank my guest, Robbie Dunn, for hopping on the show this evening.
No problem at all, Jeremy. I'll catch you at the weekend.
Yes, we will be back on Saturday to discuss Atletico and Celta, win, lose, or draw. Thank you all for listening to this edition of Colts Neuro Chat. Keep it on into the Calderon.com as well as our social media and Patreon pages, patreon.com/ColtsNeuroChat for bonus podcasts. In addition, make sure you subscribe to the Atletico Madrid Podcast Network on Spotify, where you can get access to all the latest episodes of Colts Neuro Chat, as well as our sister show, the Partido a Partido podcast. Until next time, adios.